The Huddle, powered by Reuben James, Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Now, here's The Huddle, live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3 ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You are in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. All account the four. Brady's here. Rich is here. Artie's here. How you doing, handsome? What's going on, big boy?
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Wow. Yeah,
we're all unaccounted for.
Unlike last night.
Today.
Wow.
Unlike last night. Where were you? Mister, I'm going to shut down Trimbley and I'm going to do this and that. You didn't even show.
I'm going to apologize to my team. Had I known they were going to let some little squirt score 54 points on you.
Wow.
First of all, you're joking, right? He didn't really score 54 points.
No, he had 54. We only lost by
like
15.
Did you play three games in a row, or what did
He came out and scored about 20 of the first 24 for his team and just did not look back.
Why?
But nice of you, by the way, to leave us with five players going against a team that had nine and was actually able to sub in. Nice of you to do that.
What I don't understand is why, A, you didn't like cheap shot him, elbow him, do things to get him off the game.
Because I'm respectful.
We had plus the fact that if he gets thrown out of the game, it's 5-on-4, thanks to you.
Who was guarding? Had I known... Oh, my gosh.
Here we go.
I'm a better defender than I thought, Rich. I can't believe you guys couldn't stop him from scoring 54 points. I'm embarrassed.
I'm embarrassed.
I may come with four new players next week. I'm embarrassed.
We played better D in the second half, if that makes you feel better.
How many did he score at halftime?
He probably had 35 at the half.
Oh, but he was going to go for 70?
Yeah, he was probably headed for 70.
Brady, your restraint amazes me. I would literally be jumping over the console
attacking him. You know
right
what? Maybe
now.
He should attack me. Had I known that you needed me that bad to be the lockdown defender.
Why weren't you there?
I was under the weather. I was sick.
After all the trash talk.
Look, if I knew that 15% of Arnie is better than 100% of No D Rob, I would have been there.
By the way, I told No D Rob that you call him No D Rob, and he's pretty mad at you.
Well, gee, who isn't mad at me on that team?
I can't imagine why anyone would be mad at you.
Maybe you shouldn't be mad at me. You should be mad at yourself for letting the guy score 54. I saw the picture you took with him.
Yep.
I can't tell if that was before the game or after the game.
After.
Well, he didn't work up much of a sweat.
I did.
I'm like, oh my goodness. I'm like, this must have been before the game during the layup line. He must have worked up a sweat at the layup line.
The only thing I didn't think about was I was wearing an Albany shirt to that.
Well, no wonder he torched you.
Did they have a really good team or something? Are they undefeated?
They had two players shoot really well and a bunch of role players who knew their role.
So two guys that were good and the rest were scrubs and they waxed you like that?
54 points, Arnie. That matters.
You let some scrubs score 54 on you?
One of the two players was Mike Trimboli.
Wait, did he hit three pointers or what was he doing?
Yeah,
to you guys?
he was feeling it so much that he would get a steal in the open court and rather than go for the layup, he would just pull up for three.
He would embarrass you guys like that?
And make it. It was kind of it was almost as bad as when Steve Kerr allowed his team to coach instead of the coaches against the Suns.
Why was he stealing the ball against you guys?
The only thing that was really tough. And here's what really did us in. We started the game 40 minutes late.
Oh, no wonder he scored so many points. Exactly.
Well, we all worked up the lather and sweat getting loose before the game, and then the game started 40
Why
minutes
did it start?
Late.
Because the game before it was...
Who knows? Yeah. I don't know. The refs didn't show. The clock didn't work last night. All
and
kinds
that affected
of...
Trimboli in what way?
It affected us, Rich, because
only your team.
Yes, we had worked up the sweat and lather.
And they hadn't.
They had not.
This is why I didn't go. Okay. I couldn't have stayed up to 9:45.
We didn't get home until 11.
Oh, no. Oh, no. No, I would have worn down.
I know it. It's like this concert. My friends are telling me to go to tonight. I said, what time does it start? They said 9. It's like, I'm not going downtown at 9 o'clock. How old am I?
I had 19.
Well, sure, you have to score when you let another guy score 54.
I had 19, but I'll say this. Of my 19, probably 12 of it came in the last 7 minutes of the game. I started out, I probably finished the day 8 for 22.
You guys are horrible. What is up with that?
They could have sure used you last night.
Well, I bet they could have. I didn't know. I didn't know 5% of Arnie's better than 100% of the rest of the team. I didn't know it was that bad.
After all the trash talking.
You would have scored zero.
What? That's not true.
Yes, it is.
Why? You say that every week, and every week I surprise you by not scoring zero.
No,
I'm hitting three-pointers like it's going out of style.
But Arnie brought up a good point when you weren't in here before we went on. Why didn't you just constantly foul them if the clock is running
The clock is running with
Why'd
the...
just hack
because
every
we
time?
Only have five players and we can't foul out.
Oh, yeah, that's
true.
But
I don't think you foul out. They just give you technicals after that or
something. Oh, great. More technicals.
Well, at least the clock is running. I can't believe that. How tall is the guy? 5'5"?
He's 6'1".
How tall is he? 5'5"?
5'6"? 6'2".
6'1", 6'2".
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I didn't guard him. I did it personally.
In basketball height.
No one else did either.
In basketball height, that's like Gary Coleman. What are you talking about? You don't even know who that is.
Yes, I do. You act like I guarded him personally.
Gary Coleman.
Well, you still should be responsible. Who guarded him? No D-Rob?
No D-Rob. Craig a little bit.
Oh, my God.
But Craig
got lit up, too?
Craig did well.
And what about the Ozzie?
He didn't guard him.
Well, but Ozzie's a correctional officer. He can't stop people from escaping. Sure, he couldn't even guard him. Wow.
Where else can we go?
Wow. I'm just shocked. I'm 54 points.
How do you
I'm embarrassed.
Any friends?
I don't know, but I'm
you
embarrassed
need,
for
I'm
you
surprised
guys.
You don't have to walk out here with protection. Out of the
54.
Building.
What did he say to you after the game? Did he say, like, where's Arnie? How come he didn't show?
He said, good game. And then we took a picture together.
Wow.
I went up to him, introduced myself, and said, hey, you're Mike, right? And he goes, yeah. I go, I'm Brady. He goes, ah, nice to meet you. Love listening to the show. I said, I appreciate that. And whatever venom you have, whatever venom you have for this game is not directed towards me.
That's your mistake. He would have known who I was in the first 10 seconds of the basketball game. I promise
that's because
you
would have, as soon as you open your mouth, it's Arnie.
I wouldn't even have put my hand down to lift him up. I would have said, yeah, I'm Arnie. How are you? That's what I would have said.
And he goes, awesome, I get 70 tonight.
How are you, old man? Because he looked like he had a gut, I got to tell you.
Oh, my God.
In the picture, it looked like.
This guy weighs about 170 pounds.
Maybe more like 180. I'm just saying. Looked like he had a little bit of a gut there,
if
Rich.
He never weighed 180.
He wasn't as sleek as you were making him out to be. That's all I can tell you. And I'm looking at the picture. I'm like, this guy scored 54 against my team?
Yeah.
54. And he's in his 30s.
Yeah. He's probably like 31.
My whole team is younger than this guy.
No, actually, I'm
you're
the only
28.
One. Yeah, and Tucker.
And Craig.
Craig's 36.
Oh, is he that old?
Yeah.
Anyway. I didn't know he was that old.
Okay.
Wow. Well, you still should be embarrassed.
Phil's 32.
You should be embarrassed.
Well, I you know what? I am embarrassed.
You should be.
I am. I didn't know that me not being there would have resulted in this, Rich. Had I known?
We spent the first 15 minutes of the day yesterday with you ridiculing Mike Trimboli, one of the all-time great UVM basketball players.
I had no...
And he goes out there, you don't show up, and he puts up 54.
Yeah, you know what? I should apologize to him for at least not having the one guy on our team that's any good showing up to put a little pressure on him. That's what I should do. And shame on you, Brady.
Brady, response.
By the way, why did if they only had three guys that sucked, why didn't you leave one of the guys that sucked and double team Trimboli?
We did curious. That at times.
And that didn't work for you either?
Still hit.
Do we play this team again? Please tell me yes.
No,
oh, God, please tell me yes.
So he doesn't have to show
please
up.
Please tell me yes.
Oh, I have a sore throat.
Please tell me we're playing them next week in a doubleheader, all right?
We are
please.
Not.
We're not playing them again?
No.
Maybe in the playoffs?
Maybe.
Playoffs.
But
maybe,
playoffs.
But maybe
you?
Maybe you'll show up.
Wow.
We're still over 500.
I was yeah, no, what I are mean, we 5-4?
5-4, I think.
But 0-2 when I'm not there.
Yeah.
Whew. For the love of God.
0-2 when I'm not there, Rich. They can't win when I'm not there. What does that say?
The king of you, spin, yeah, Arnie Spanier.
Yeah. No,
Arnie
okay.
Spinier. We
just,
need to change your last name.
I'm shocked. 54, were they 10-point plays, too, from half court?
Was I want to see if Alexa knows who Mike Trimboli is.
Yeah, see if I don't know if I have it plugged in there.
Alexa, do you know, who is Mike Trimboli?
It's not plugged in.
What are you doing?
I don't think it's
Mike
plugged
Trimboli.
In.
You unplugged it.
I may have unplugged it. I'm not
really?
Sure. Really? I'm not sure.
You unplugged Alexa?
Well, this was unplugged like last week. I was charging up a...
why don't you plug her back in?
I don't know which plug it is.
Unbelievable.
He'll probably knock the transmitter off the air.
We'll have to. You know what? I'm sure Alexa doesn't know who he is anyway. What difference does it make?
Well, she knows who Arnie Spanier
is. Well, there you. Of course she would. Of course she would.
Arnie Spanier is a former basketball star
all
from
right.
the University of Arizona.
I'm just embarrassed for you, Brady. I'm sorry. I didn't know that it was going to happen for you. I promise I'll never miss another game.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. I promise. And I hope we do play them in the playoffs again.
I do too. I'll make sure I'm there.
I'll introduce myself in a way he won't forget. Okay, that's all I can tell you.
You're an unforgettable
guy,
Ernie.
Oh boy, can you? Hello, Mr. Tromboli. Meet my elbow. Meet the elbow. And how does it taste? How does it taste? And by the way, would he have had to guard me in my 3-point shooting?
No, he would not have gone anywhere near you.
Well, then I would have lit him up like crazy.
Why would he waste his time defending you?
Because I'm a 3-point shooter. If you don't guard me, I'm going to bury you like
you're
crazy.
You're right. You do take a lot of threes.
You're like 5-for-30 for the season.
Am I that bad?
Yes.
But the five I hit are good.
It went right through that twine.
Yeah, it looks good out there. All right, well, so there you go. I can't believe you got lit up like that.
Hey, I had 19. That's all I'm saying.
Ernie,
54? That's a joke, right? That's
a joke. Not a joke.
Eddie Benton once scored 54 for UVM in a game.
Is that a YMCA record, 54?
Probably not. But
what was the score of the game?
I don't know. The clock wasn't working. The scoreboard wasn't working. Guy was keeping it.
Oh, so you guys were just like guessing at the score?
Guy had a chalkboard.
Guy was keeping it by hand.
So
can you pay for this league?
I think we lost by like 15. My guess was it was probably like 85 to 70.
He scored 54 of the 80?
That's my guess.
So how did you know he had 54 if you're using a chalkboard for the scoreboard?
They still keep the box score.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
Well, that's shameful. You let some guy score 54 of 80.
All right, let's go.
All right. Well, yeah, you should be. I'd be upset. I'd be like, "Gay, let's move on." Let's move on. I'm thoroughly embarrassed. All right, Brady, what's coming up on the show today?
Trivia tonight at the City Sports Grill. Friday, we kick off the Winter Craft Beer Tour, First Republic Brewery in Essex. We've got all kinds of stuff going on there. They've got a special menu. They do pizza and a pint on Friday. We talked about the game from last night. Coming up on the show, we'll give you the biggest Red Sox questions heading into spring training in 10 minutes. Josh Sims of Fox 46 in Charlotte joins us at 4:35. He talks about the Giants hiring former Panthers OC Mike Shula to the same position. Arnie got a shout-out on Golic and Wingo today.
Oh, look at that. And it's like Arnie Day today.
Arnie who?
And nobody has any idea why. But first, Nate Burleson, former NFL wide receiver and currently of the NFL Network, he thinks the Patriots should go after one Jimmy Graham in free agency. What do you think of that?
You see, you two guys are just going to come out and say whether you think the Patriots are a better team with or without Jimmy Graham, right? Is that the first thing that's going to go through your thought?
It is not.
All right, well, that's probably what you're going to do anyway.
No, it is not.
Until I brought it to your attention. What really is, you can't decide if you're going to get Jimmy Graham if it's going to cost you other pieces to the puzzle, okay? And I don't think, and again, you have to decide if Gronk is coming back and if he's not coming back. And they have that inside information more so than we. And if he is coming back, it's probably only going to be for another year. I don't think Jimmy Graham's really the answer. What do you have, like 57 catches or something last year?
Yeah, but he also had 10 touchdowns.
Thank you very much on that, because I'll find somebody else to give me 10 touchdowns on a fraction of the price. And if it costs me at another position, I'm not going to worry about tight end before I worry some of the other positions I need to fill first. And again, it's hard for me to say until I know the whole dynamics with Gronk. And by the way, didn't even rework the contract? Didn't we figure this out, that this year was the good part for the Patriots? Next year is what could have killed the Patriots? Or was I wrong? I think that's what you said, Brady. I think they had one more good year of a contract being favorable to the Patriots if they kept Gronk to this, and then the year after next, the contract really is unfavorable for the Patriots. So I think they have one more year left.
I agree with part of what you said, Arnie, the part about he better not show up for a lot of money, and he's going to need to realize that.
Right.
He's a classic guy, though. How many guys in the last 20 or 15, 18 years, whatever, have just decided, okay, I'm going to finish things up with the Patriots. I want a ring. I want my best chance at a ring. And taken a discount and jumped on and in many cases won that ring. I just think this is a perfect situation for that. He hasn't won. Did he win with New Orleans the year they won? He hadn't arrived yet. I think that would be unbelievable. If you put Gronk and Graham together, talk about no chance in the red zone for the defense, but at the right cost.
Well, on the surface, it makes sense because, yes, as you said, Gronk and Graham would give them the two tight end dynamic they've been so successful with. From Gronk and Aaron Hernandez to Gronk and Martellus Bennett, the Patriots play well with this dynamic. So on the surface, it makes sense. And also, you throw in, well, if Gronk leaves, then Graham just comes in and replaces him. But I'm saying, look, I'd make the phone call. But it does, as Arnie said, it has to be at the right price. Yeah. And I don't think Jimmy Graham's willing to concede that right price. Even for the thought of winning, I don't think he's willing to concede that price. He could potentially win in Seattle and get way more money than what he'd get in New England. The Patriots have $13 million open in cap space. That's it right now.
Yeah.
Even if they cut players we think they're going to cut, it's still only going to get them to $30 million. You have three offensive linemen to re-sign. You might have two running backs to go after. You've got all your draft picks. A second tight end or Jimmy Graham is a luxury, not a need. So I'd make the phone call, but I don't think he's coming to you on the team. I just don't think it's happening.
Maybe wrong about that Gronk part. If Gronk wasn't coming back, you may not want Jimmy Graham, because then you're saying, you know what, I don't want to have Jimmy Graham in the salary he is just for a one-year stopgap when we know we're going to have to replace him anyway after next year. So why don't we start getting ready for Gronk's replacement now and draft a tight end and have him play full-time and forget about Graham? I don't know, maybe that's a situation.
Well, as we were saying earlier, the ball is in the Patriots' court here completely, in the sense that they're going to know before the draft. Gronk has to let them know if he's going to retire. He needs to let them know very, very soon,
well,
because they need
already,
to position
themselves.
Doesn't have to let them know at all.
Yeah, but really? You don't think that Gronk owes the Patriots at least to tell them that whether he's going to stay or not before the draft? Doesn't that change their draft strategy?
Rob Ninkovich retired after training camp started last year. You didn't say this about him.
No, but did we hear Ninkovich was playing his last game 4 hours after his last game? I mean, I just think that the Gronk thing came right out, and I feel like he's going to make it. I feel like he was just making that decision in the emotion of the moment. At least I hope so.
And I think when you're a Hall of Famer, maybe you owe it to the organization a little bit more when they've, you know, stuck by you like a Tom Brady or something.
Yeah, he owes it to him less.
I don't compare him to a Rob Ninkovich, who, by the way, had retired how many times before he officially retired and came back? He had retired the year before, did he not? Was I wrong about that?
But I guarantee you they're going to be all over Gronk for an answer. And I'm sure they've already talked to him about
it. Look, we like Gronk. We'd like to think that the players owe the loyalty to the team in that regard, but the teams end up, I mean, you see what happened with Isaiah Thomas in the NBA. You see what happens with these guys all the time. Teams don't give loyalty to the players. The player, as much as it will stink for the organization, he's under contract. He doesn't owe it to them at all right now, because the team would never show the same sympathy back. I don't believe that.
Under contract, isn't that all the more reason for him to let them know?
Yeah,
doesn't he owe them that if they're paying him right now through next year?
And you can't compare it to the NBA, because the NBA draft is when, and the season ends when, and the NFL draft is in April. You know what I mean? If you want them to go ahead and draft without them letting know whether Gronk's coming back or not, you know what I mean? That's not quite fair to go into the draft having that opening.
I mean, if Gronk doesn't tell them and then decides to leave, they've got nobody at one of their perennial great positions.
Well, look, I'd like to think that he would owe it to them, but bottom line is he doesn't. We all hear about, oh, it's a business. Well, if Gronk doesn't know that he's going to retire now, I mean, maybe he needs 2 months to decide. Maybe he needs 4 months to decide. And yeah, that would stink, but no, he doesn't owe it to him. As far as Jimmy Graham goes, again, it would have to be on the cheap, but because of how productive he was last year and what really was a bad Seahawks offense, I think he could make the case very easily. If I go to a team with a good offensive line and some other weapons there, I could have 75 catches and 13 touchdowns. They're not getting him on the cheap. He's 31 years old. He's had a major injury in his career already, and he's a terrible blocker, and none of those things match up well with the Patriots.
But history tells you that sometimes guys like this do come to the Pats in search of a ring. I mean, it's happened before, and the Patriots have the luxury, and their fan base has the luxury of making that kind of speculative, you know, announcement, based on the fact that a lot of people have done it before because they know they're going to be good every year until Brady leaves.
Yeah, but Darrell Revis is at the end of his career, pretty much. Jimmy Graham, I would say he's not in the prime, but he's not, you know, in his last year. He could go get a three, four-year deal, I bet, still.
And if there's one guy in the NFL, and I'm not going to say it's, you know, if there's a 1% in the NFL that does care about money, you would think that Jimmy Graham's in it. Remember, here's a guy that was, what was it? What was the big controversy? He wanted to be paid as one of the top five wide receivers.
No, that's right.
Not tight ends. And that, didn't that initiate the trade, Brady? Would have initiated the trade?
That's a good point.
To begin with.
Say that again.
His agent, they wanted to be paid as one of the top 5% wide receivers.
Yeah.
And they said, no, you're a tight end. He goes, I don't give a damn what you want to call me. And that initiated the trade. To get him the hell out of there, I believe, was the initial reason.
Yeah, they weren't going to pay. He was going to get franchised as a tight end.
Right.
And he wanted to get franchised as a wide receiver.
Right. And that was a big controversy with the NFL. That was like 4 years ago or something.
Yeah, it was. And it kind of reeks of a guy who's all about the money.
Oh,
so,
yes.
So basically, everything we just said about maybe taking, you know,
well,
for
who
the,
knows now.
Going for the ring just goes right out the window.
Brady, what's coming up next?
We'll give you the biggest storylines and biggest question marks heading into Red Sox spring training. We did the Yankees yesterday. Sox now.
54 points. All right, that's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Go Lake and... Okay, that was a long enough break. We're back to the huddle with Rich and Arnie right here on 101.3 ESPN.
You like this, huh?
Nice.
All right, I want to get to tell you who's on the line. The guy that, the 5'5" guy that scored 54 points on you.
Stop.
I wasn't there. Don't tell me to stop.
Five,
I wasn't there.
5'5"?
It's Mike Trimboli. Mike, how tall are you, Mike?
Last time I checked, I'm 6'1".
What, you didn't look 6'1" in the...
Oh, stop.
He didn't look 6'1" in the photo.
Oh, stop.
He not. He looks... How much do you weigh, Mike?
175, yeah. 180, I was, maybe 185.
I could tell you had a little bit of a gut.
Oh,
I could,
stop.
No, I could, I
hey, listen,
you,
some yeah. people got to work for a living.
Wow! Now, can I be honest? The team, my team just stunk yesterday. They couldn't guard you, or what was going on?
No, they played great day.
You had 54 points.
Listen, good, better offense always beats good defense.
You know, I'm the shutdown defender on the team. I don't, you know, if you know that.
Have you ever seen Arnie?
Have you ever seen me play in the league? I don't know that.
I was waiting for you.
I was waiting for you. I so badly wanted to be there. I'm only at like 5%, but if I knew 5% of me would have done a lot better job than 100% of everybody else, I would have been there. I totally would have. Believe me, I would have introduced myself, and you would have known who I was after the first like 10 seconds of the game.
With
I
that
want
voice.
You to know that.
And yeah, no, you said you were going to, something about throwing elbows or something.
Oh, yeah.
Like you would always say, you can't hurt something that you can't touch.
Wow! Look at that.
Mike, that was my response. It's kind of hard to elbow someone that you're constantly 10 feet away from.
Is your team undefeated? Are you guys undefeated?
I believe so. We might have one loss, but yeah. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you probably do.
Mike, tell Arnie I had 19. Despite my poor shooting in the first half, tell him I had 19 at least.
Well, despite you coming in with a long-sleeve Albany Great Dane shirt on.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh hey, my goodness.
It was a warm-up shirt.
If that wasn't fueling my fire enough.
Wait, so we don't play you guys again at all? Not at all?
I don't know. Unless you guys make the playoffs.
We're making the playoffs.
We're over 500, Mike.
We're making the playoffs. Don't insult. Don't insult me. Okay.
He just shows up and puts up 54 and goes home.
Calls into the show and is insulting me now. If you make the playoffs,
I can't imagine why he would want to do that.
Do you play any pickup ball at all, or what?
From time to time, a couple of times a week, I try.
Well, we're gonna have to try maybe to run into each other on the same court one day. How about that?
Oh, I'm ready. I'll be more than happy to give you my number.
Oh, well, and I'll be more than happy to take it. How about that?
I can sense the quaking in his voice when he tells you.
Maybe tell you something. At least I know if we play to 21, he won't score 54 against me. I could promise you that. All right, well, you know, game on, man. A little one-on-one. We'll play some pickup ball. And you guys are what? You have one loss in the YMC League. We don't get to play you again, so that's too bad. I would have loved to play against your team. I'm bummed out that I missed that game, man.
Yeah, I can tell.
I had I was sick, man. I couldn't
let him talk.
I couldn't go there and get all sick, but
sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was sick. More,
I've heard that one before.
More like scared. Mike, the only thing I'll say is tell that big guy on your team to quit reaching around and hit me in the back. It should have been called for a couple of fouls.
Demir's a big body.
Yeah. He was a big there was
he
a big body down there.
Now he's like 280. He's cutting down though.
How many threes? How many threes did you have?
I don't know.
Seven?
Probably eight or nine, maybe. Yeah, somewhere in that range.
So, Mike, does this all just seem too easy to you, and wonder why you're in a league that Arnie Spanier's in?
As Arnie said, he saw a little bit of a gut. Just trying to cut that gut down is all.
Yeah, the body fat's up to 1%.
Mike thinks he can still play for Vermont. He wants to get another four more years out there, don't you?
Could.
I'm ready.
Yeah, I know it.
My mind is there. The body's a whole other.
Well, we'll definitely catch up on the court, all right, man? We'll definitely do that.
Sounds good.
All right, man. Thanks, Mike. Congratulations.
Appreciate all the shout-outs.
Oh, you got it. Congratulations on the victory. And what do you have, 154 points or something like that? All right,
thanks,
man. Mike. Take care, Mike. Mike Trimboli, everybody.
All right, thanks, guys.
All-time assist leader?
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Which means he couldn't shoot. I'm just kidding. He's top 10
in a lot of things at UVM.
Wow. Scored 2,000 career points, that's all we'll say.
I wish I could say that.
In fact, he almost scored that many last night.
All right.
All right, Brady. I know you're dying to get the spring training, so let's get the spring training. Go.
That's right, I am.
Yes,
I am too.
Yesterday we did the biggest questions for the Yankees. We had 6 of them. The Red Sox, a little bit more of an unknown. I've identified 8 questions that need answering for the Red Sox going into spring training. We'll count it down from 8 to 1. Number 8, what can Rafael Devers do in his first full season in Boston? He hit .284 with 10 homers and 30 RBIs in just 58 games. That's a pretty good basis in a small sample size, but can he do it over 162? Can he make adjustments to pitchers that pitch to him? And will he get some protection in that lineup moving forward?
I was going to say lower on the batting average. To go through 162, you're not going to get .284.
He was only projected. The projections have only got him hitting 13 homers and bringing in 50 this whole season.
Right. Okay. I mean, when the whole Pablo thing the Sandoval thing didn't work out, it's like, all right, what have we got to lose? Let's bring this kid up. They figured they'd throw him in. Everybody expected him to hit about .220, .230, play some decent defense. They were only bringing him up to get some experience so that he might be ready to be a starter and an everyday player maybe in a year and a half, and he left them no choice but to put him in the lineup every night.
265, 13 home runs, you said?
Yeah.
No.
He'll hit more than that.
He'll hit over 25.
Nobody on the Red Sox hit 25 home runs last season.
He's going to hit over 25.
We'll see. They need it.
I'm telling you he's going to hit over. And plus, he'll have, gosh, I was going to put him at about 75 RBI. Is that crazy too? Or
75
no?
RBIs I don't think is crazy. I think 25 home runs is a stretch for a 20. He's going to be 21. I think that's a stretch. So what does Devers do in his first full season? That is the 8th biggest question going into spring training. The 7th biggest question, what is Dustin Pedroia's availability this season? He's missed time in 3 of the last 4 years. He missed a good bulk of last season, was on the DL 3 times, all in the later half of the season. He's still productive when he plays. He had .293 last season. But what is his availability for this year? Is he the guy who plays 150 games?
No.
Or does he play 90 games?
I don't think he's playing anywhere near 150. I wouldn't be surprised. I think 90 might be a little low. But, I mean, we don't know. But if there's anybody in all of Major League Baseball that's more of a pain in the butt when he's not playing than Dustin Pedroia, I don't know who it is. And he's going to do everything he can possibly do to get himself out on the field. But from afar, we can't say how many games he's going to play. You hope maybe 130?
Well, I want him to be healthy because he's productive. You want him to be healthy because, as you said, last year's problems with the Red Sox were not so much that they were bad. They won the East. They were unlikable, and they were malcontents. And if Pedroia's playing, that takes away from his ability to be a malcontent.
And who is the second baseman? I mean, is Holt going to do it with his, with no power whatsoever? And I mean, I don't want Holt playing second base. I still want him to bring Nunez back.
Number 6 question.
Wait, I didn't say. Wait a minute. I want you to know.
I thought you wanted to fast forward through baseball.
No, I just wanted to say this about Pedroia. It's like a bad divorce. You don't wait 3 years and say, okay, I'm finally going to get divorced, when you know right away you need to get divorced. The Red Sox they need to divorce him. They need to get rid of him now and find out who's going to eat up the rest of the contract. You got to figure out how to get, even if you have to eat half of it, get rid of it now.
Yeah, but who's going to eat that? I mean,
he's going to have to
come out and hit like crazy if there's going to be any value for him for another team.
Question, he's got to prove he's healthy before there's any value to another team. But then if he's healthy, he's got value to you. So question 6, will the team sign J.D. Martinez? I'm over this storyline, but it's still a question going into spring training. Will he be on this roster by the time spring training ends? No player on this team hit 25 home runs last season. Nelson Cruz, Giancarlo Stanton, and others hit more home runs after July 1st than the Red Sox leading guy hit all of last season.
I believe he absolutely will be on the Red Sox by the beginning of the season, because where else is he going? The golf course? I mean, what's left? How many options does he have? I mean, is he seriously going to sit?
No, he'll take a...
You have a choice between making $20 to $25 million this year or nothing. I mean, he's got to go somewhere, doesn't he? How does this work?
What he could do is he could take a one-year deal for $25 million and then get back into the game next year. But it doesn't get easier in free agency next year when you've got Bryce Harper out there, Manny Machado, and Josh Donaldson. No. It's a better class of free agents.
I don't think he's going to be on the Red Sox this year. I think they're going to go in a different direction. I think he's going to get fed up.
Good.
Question.
I always like it when Ernie disagrees with me.
Question five for the Red Sox. Will Mookie Betts and Xander Bogaerts come back this year off regressions in 2017? Because those guys were great in 2016. Yeah. Mookie Betts finished second in the American League in MVP voting. And while last year he still played well, he still showed you a power-speed combo of a 2020 guy. He only hit .266. He was not a 300 hitter. They need him to be far closer to 2016 than he was in 2017. And as for Bogaerts, he dropped off considerably. He had that wrist injury in the second half of the year, and that really hampered his offense. They need him back, too.
I think Bogaerts is simple. I think he's healthy, and I think that's going to make all the difference in the world. I mean, just so many people that I've talked to that just said that was a real problem for him last year. He's never really hit for a lot of power, but, I mean, it just dropped off completely last year. As far as Betts goes, that was a strange situation. I'm very concerned that he's not going to re-sign with them anyway in three years. He's going to keep going back to the arbitration table. He's going to play unhappy, and that's not a good thing. He did drive in 100 runs last year and stole a pile of bases, so he was good that way. But I was shocked how far his batting average dropped last year. I've got to imagine there's going to be a market correction with him, and he'll be hitting .280 or so by season's end. Don't you think so?
I think he's going to have a good year, and if they do get Martinez, then that gives you an opportunity to get some protection in that lineup for him. Benintendi, year two, being a full-time starter, he should be more consistent, and we hope that Devers is too. I think Betts is primed for a big year. Question four, is the team going to be more likable this season? Again, it wasn't that they were bad. They just didn't handle business correctly from the Pedroia Machado thing, from Price all season long, Price on the plane. This team was surly. John Farrell is surly. They've got a different dynamic there with some energy in Alex Cora. I think this team corrects that this season, but if they don't, that's going to continue to be a major problem.
I don't even know if it's a more likable season as for what the players. I mean, yeah, Price was surly. Price aggravated me, but I don't think it's a more likable season because I don't even see them as winning the division.
No, but they just, I agree. Last year, I was trying to find the person. Who's the Gronk on this team? I mean, you know, they sure they'd high-five each other and smile a lot, but you
win, dance, repeat, baby.
I mean, you've got guys like Pedroia and guys like Chris Sale, who might as well just be a statue sitting there. I'm glad he pitched as well as he did. He went out for his first interview today, and I see he hasn't changed much. And Price, who doesn't want to talk to the media. There's got to be a Gronk somewhere in there. There's got to be a goofy guy. I mean, I just don't see it. Maybe Benintendi, potentially, when he becomes more and more comfortable as he gets older.
Question three, moving forward, Red Sox spring training. Is Craig Kimbrel the guy he was last year, or is he the guy he was in his first year in Boston, who we were ready to run out of town going into last season? Last year, 35 saves, he struck out 126 batters in 69 innings.
Come on, buddy.
He struck out pretty much everybody that he faced. He, at one point, right-handers had one hit off of him for the season going into, like, August. With how volatile bullpens are and how volatile closers are, it's easy to say that he's not going to be that good again. But if he falls back to a guy who's got an ERA of 3.5, then what kind of regression are we talking about in that bullpen? Kimbrel couldn't possibly be that great.
Right. And as you point out, if that happens, they're in some doo-doo here because Kimbrel is their only – I mean, who else is going to close for them at this point? You know, I mean, he is the man.
Joe Kelly.
Well, he certainly has the stuff for it.
Heath Embry.
Oh, my gosh. Can
would
you imagine?
Would the Red Sox get rid of him if they were started losing and they were just like a .500 team and they started quitting house?
He's Kimbrel? A free agent at the end of the year.
Yeah.
So, yes.
So I guess that's, yes, he would be absolutely a July trade deadline.
Oh, my
kind of
goodness.
Pickup.
What could you get for him?
A lot.
Nothing, because he's a free agent at the end of the year.
Yeah, that's the whole point of trading him, because, I mean, everyone understands that, but I'm saying you could get more for a guy like Kimbrel and hope that he can work his magic for a team that's going for the playoff run in the second half. You don't think so?
I still, you're not going to go get the top prospect in baseball for a rental player.
Oh, of course not, but I think there's some value to Kimbrel based on what he was last year. I mean, if he blows out his arm and he's back in the second half of the year, that's a different story. The problem for Kimbrel to me is that I say Betts' average will go up as a market correction. I don't think there's anywhere else for Kimbrel to go but down. I mean, how do you replicate that season?
You don't. You don't. He is going to go down. It's just a question of how far is he going to go down. And how is he going to be used, too? Is he going to get two inning appearances? He doesn't really like that. Farrell didn't like that. What will Alex Cora think? That's number two. How does Alex Cora connect to the clubhouse? I liked what he had to say yesterday in his first appearance down at Fort Myers. We hear about being players managers. We hear about how good he is with young players, especially. Can he be an influence on those young players that they connect with? Because that young core is the core of this team.
I think absolutely so. I mean, you talk about going from one extreme to another, from John Farrell, you know, the stodgy old guy, the old school
Sparky
guy.
Anderson.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically, you know, let's throw out Tony La Russa out there. But and Alex Cora couldn't be the more opposite. He's completely green coming in. I think the connection with the young players is going to be amazing. I think he's going to be a big help with a guy like Devers, with a guy like Xander Bogaerts. I can't imagine that's going to hurt.
All right, what's the last one, Brady?
The biggest question heading into this spring training for the Red Sox is, what does the team have in David Price? He was great out of the bullpen last season when he came back from injury. One, is he going to be healthy? Two, is he going to be happy? Three, is he going to be effective? And four, is he going to be a good influence on that young clubhouse? Because we talk about leadership working when it's positive. Leadership also works when it's negative. There are negative leaders in that clubhouse, and Price was at the forefront of that last season. Who is David Price this season, the number one thing that needs to be
addressed? Now you need like 7 or 8 starters. So he's got to be a starter. If he gives me 10 wins and eats up a lot of the innings that I need to eat up during the summer months, the brutal months, I'm okay with it. That's what I want from him.
I have been saying for how long now that David Price is the key to 2018 for the Boston Red Sox, the entire team. I just can't imagine. I mean, people, he had a pretty underrated year 2 years ago. There were such expectations. He had an ERA 3.99, but all of the other stuff was really good.
It was great in the second half.
Yeah, and he had a zillion strikeouts. He blows out his arm, so I don't know what's coming back. And Porcello's another one. Is he a 22-4 guy from 2 years ago, or is he the 17-18 game loser who couldn't do anything last year? There's just so many questions, but to me, Price is the absolute key, and I feel very good that he's coming back with a David Price-type year.
Well, he needs to be good, but he also needs to act well, and I think that is extremely important because as Cora looks to connect with that young core, those older guys like Sale, Price, and Pedroia, they need to be on board. Who is David Price this year?
All right, Josh Sims is going to go ahead and stop on by next. We'll go ahead and talk to them, reporter at Fox 46 in Charlotte, North Carolina, right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The local slant on all things sports.
We know that everybody's going to be gunning for us.
It's The Huddle with Rich Arne and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
Welcome back here in The Huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. So the New York Giants yesterday make the decision to reunite the good old boys club from the Carolina Panthers. GM Dave Gettleman hires his former offensive coordinator in Carolina, Mike Shula. And to break that decision down, we go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line where we find ourselves Josh Sims of Fox 46 down in Charlotte, covers the Panthers. Josh, how are you?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
Appreciate it. We're doing well as well. Giant fans wondering about the decision to hire Mike Shula as the offensive coordinator. Look, the numbers really aren't that great when you break them down. What did you witness firsthand about Shula and his Panthers offenses?
Yeah, the crazy thing about Mike Shula is the first year I started covering the Panthers was the Super Bowl year, and it was the year that the Panthers offense exploded, number one scoring offense in the league. All I ever heard around town was fans just, oh, Mike Shula is terrible. He doesn't know what he's doing with his offense. And then I'm looking at it, I'm like, are you serious? Right now, look at the way the team is scoring. So, but that is a small sample size. And then we had the next two seasons after that, and you saw a point where the offense struggled. And the biggest thing with him that can define basically his legacy with the Panthers was inconsistency, because they were a team that really got the running game going but could never get the game going through the air. And when they did, they would have a big drive. And then for the next quarter or quarter and a half, they would struggle to move the ball. They constantly had three and outs. And he had this offense 19th in the league the last two seasons. They never finished top 10 in total offense during his tenure. Like I said, they did have that 1 year where they were number one in scoring. But the offense never really clicked the way they wanted it to down here in Carolina. And then I started to see why people were always ripping him. And I don't think the people in Carolina, I know the coaching staff was all in on the hire, but the fans never really were. And you could see some of the decisions they made in the red zone. And sometimes where this was one thing I noticed firsthand was when we got in the red zone and you had, at this point, they had Kelvin Benjamin and they had Devin Funchess and then Greg Olsen as the tight end. And you got two towers on the outside, and then you've got a big target in your tight end. So you would think on the goal line, yeah, you could run the ball, but why not just line them up on the outside and throw a jump ball to one of those big receivers, and if not, look for Greg up the middle. And this was a play that I saw them run maybe once or twice in the 3 years. So it was just play calling was an issue, consistency was an issue, and the numbers just never got to the point that they should have with an offense with a guy like Cam Newton.
Now, you mentioned the play calling. Now, new Giants coach Pat Shurmur is going to do the play calling, so that's not going to fall on Shula. But Shula is also going to be the quarterback's coach, and one of the big criticisms out in Carolina is the, I don't know if it's lack of development, regression, a combination of the two, but some of the poor play and inconsistent play of Cam Newton. Do you think that falls on Shula's ability to develop the quarterback, or is Cam hard-headed, a tough guy to work with, and he doesn't know whether he wants to be a pocket passer or a runner also?
Yeah, and that's the difficult thing to evaluate. If you ask me, it has a lot more to do with Cam than it does with Shula, because Cam is the guy he is right now. He was that way before he had Shula, and I can almost guarantee he's going to be inconsistent after Shula leaves. I know a lot of people are excited in Carolina about the hiring of North Turner because his focus is getting accurate passes down the field,
yeah,
and something Cam hasn't been able to do. But, you know, there's only so much Shula could do with a guy like Cam, and the issue was that I don't think Shula was in a position where he put, lack of a better term, the fear of God into Cam. Like, it's my way or the highway. You're struggling. You will start to do this or else. It just seems more like he might have said these things or given him advice or tried to coach him up. And then whenever the bleep hits the fan, Cam would go back to his way he normally played. So a lot of the issues with Shula as the quarterback coach when he was, or the OC, also does fall on Cam. So it'll be interesting to see how he works in New York with whoever the Giants do choose to have quarterback, because while a lot of people did criticize Shula here, you can't put that all on him with a guy like Cam Newton, who's pretty inconsistent in himself.
Josh Sims, Fox 46 in Charlotte, with us here on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Dave Gettleman, the new GM of the Giants, former GM of the Carolina Panthers. A lot of Giant fans excited about him. Tough, old school, going to get back to gritty Giants football. What were your experiences like covering Gettleman?
Yeah, Gettleman was an interesting dude. You know, he was one of his favorite terms, and you guys got to hear this a ton up there. His defensive lineman, he called him Hog Molly.
Yep.
He loved to have just big old dudes in the trenches, and he just loved to pound the rock. And on defense, he loved to get big dudes to clog up the middle and get after the quarterback. The thing about him is he's a very hard-nosed guy. Negotiations can be tough. And you know, the reason he was driven out of town here was because of the way he handled negotiations with the players. I mean, a lot of people know the whole thing that happened with Josh Norman. And, you know, he was franchise tagged, thought they were going to have him back. They're working out a deal. And then, you know, something happened. And next thing you know, he ships Josh Norman out of town. And that's kind of the guy he was. He's not going to really break or bend regardless of the player. He's thinking, you know, what's best for the team, which can be good and can be bad. If you ask me, I've always been in the camp of it's better to let a guy go too soon than too late. And the straw that broke the camel's back down here was when they were trying to renegotiate with linebacker Thomas Davis and renegotiate with Greg Olsen at tight end. Both those guys' deals were coming up. They wanted to get extensions with the Panthers, and Gettleman wasn't getting anywhere with talks with them because he was of the thought that, hey, maybe it's time for you guys to move on and we need to get younger. And then all the people in Carolina, including Jerry Richardson, the owner, was like, hey, dude, like Thomas Davis is basically the mayor in Charlotte. You know, like they love him in that city. So to not work with him to get him a deal so he could finish out his career in Carolina was blasphemy. And then Greg Olsen is another guy that's huge in the community. So to not renegotiate with him either was kind of, you know, a slap in the face to those guys because they're like, how can you not take care of these guys? Or Gettleman's thinking, hey, this is a business, man. Like, I'm here to win. You know, I'm not here to pay guys for what they did before. You know, I'm here to get younger and get better. So that's the thing with his style of leadership is he's more hard-nosed. He can rub players the wrong way, but he also had a great tenure here. I mean, they won the NFC South 3 years in a row. He got them to the Super Bowl. So he's a guy who knows what he's doing. You just have to be willing to deal with his style.
One of the Giants' biggest issues coming up in this season will be trying to renegotiate a deal to keep Odell Beckham Jr. in town. I don't think you're lending a lot of hope and optimism to Giant fans who don't want OBJ other places.
Right. And you know, I think he'll know the value of Odell Beckham Jr. because stars like that in their prime don't just, you know, fall off trees. So the difference was that the guys in Carolina were getting up there in age. And, yeah, you could say Josh Norman would be the closest example because he was in his prime. And he's a guy like Odell, an outspoken guy who likes to run his mouth. But the difference is cornerback is more of a position where I think he thought he could go out and find someone else to do it. Whereas wide receiver, there are a handful of Odell, you know, Julio Jones, Odell Beckham Jr., you know, the list goes maybe five deep of guys that are really game-changing receivers. I don't think you let a guy like that go. I don't think Gettleman's going to come in and let somebody like that go. I think he's a little bit smarter than that.
Josh Sims, Fox 46 in Charlotte, covers the Panthers, talking about the Giants hiring of offensive coordinator Mike Shula, formerly of the Panthers, and also new Giants GM Dave Gettleman, also formerly of the Panthers. Josh, we appreciate the time, perspective. We'll talk to you again.
All right, sounds good. Take it easy, Brady.
There you go, Josh Sims. That's the connection also, obviously. That's why you got him on. Josh Sims, our reporter at Fox 46 in Charlotte, North Carolina. So we appreciate him stopping on by. But it was good to see their perspective and what he thinks about that. By the way, I'm waiting to see what happens with that team. You know what I'm talking about?
With the Panthers.
With the Panthers.
About who's going to buy him.
Well, who's going to buy him. And by the way, could it be moved? Is it going to be a celebrity-based buyer like
Steph Curry
and his group or whoever? I mean, there's a lot of talk about that. That's a very valuable franchise that could be bought up and moved if possible. I'm not sure about the whole ramification, but moving, but that's big money there.
I don't think they're going to move. I think I saw that all teams are now valued over $1 billion. All the four major professional sports. Would all hockey teams be at a billion?
I'm not so sure. I'm not sure about hockey.
But I do think all baseball, basketball, and NFL teams are all over.
Yeah. No, the hockey thing, Arizona's and the Winnipegs of the world, I guarantee you are not making billions.
South of that. But yeah, the other ones are. But even Steph Curry has expressed interest in that. I want to see how many of the celebs want to go in. I want to see how many former players want to pony up their own money now, huh? And get a team like that. All right, we go to the top of the hour, and then Brady's going to have a SportsCenter update. Buster Olney will stop on by. We'll talk to him. And I heard I was talked about. On a very popular morning show. So we'll get to that also. All that's coming up right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The Huddle is back. I'm sure you missed us. 101.3 ESPN.
Welcome back here in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. What a great week it is. Pitchers and catchers are here. I can almost feel the sunflower seeds parsing my lips already. Rich, let's go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line and talk with our ESPN MLB insider, Buster Olney. Buster, aren't you pumped?
I'm very pumped. Look, excited. I'm starting out in Florida. I'm going to see the Yankees on the first game in Florida. I'm going to see the Red Sox on the second day. Going to see the Nationals, going to see the Astros, and, you know, this is the best time of year, no doubt about it, because all the players have perfect batting averages and perfect ERAs, and they're optimistic about what's to come. The other day I spent the day with Mike Trout, and I was working on a story, and, you know, just to hear his excitement on the eve of spring training, pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I literally spent all of last night booking, trying to figure out if it's better to fly from Boston to Phoenix or Burlington to Phoenix, and which is the cheapest car rental, which is the day of the week. It's one of my favorite times of the year. I can't get out there fast enough. What about Arizona? I know we've talked about this before, but, I mean, it's a little bit different, isn't it?
Very much. You know, Florida, and it's actually, the travel's gotten better in recent years because some of the teams that are out in the middle of nowhere, you know, those clubs are fewer than they used to be. You know, the Nationals moving down and now sharing a complex with the Astros. The Astros moving out of Kissimmee in the middle of the state.
Yeah.
But still, there's no doubt when you talk to players, spring training in Florida is different because of all the driving. In Phoenix, you're no more than an hour from any other team. And so you can literally stay in the center of Phoenix, and you could see every team in the course of about a week because they're all so tightly bunched together. It's why I think if you gave truth serum to not only players and executives, but also to reporters, they would tell you that spring training in Arizona is better.
Buster, you mentioned being in Florida where you're going to start. You're going to start with the Yankees. We talked about them pretty extensively yesterday. I gave what I thought my number one question for them heading into spring training is, but I want to ask you, what's yours?
I think it's the depth of the rotation and you know, what... you know, who eventually will they land? I still think that they're going to make a move on a starting pitcher before we start the season. I think they're obviously going to go out and get a third baseman of some kind, someone who's going to hold that spot until some of their minor leaguers develop. You know, given the depth of their lineup, I don't think that's as pressing of a need. The rotation, to me, is the big issue. You know, how deep will these guys go? When the inevitable injuries happen, will they be able to withstand those?
The starting rotation was, let's see, that was number five on that was number five
what
on
was
my
your number one question.
Really?
My number one question was, how does Aaron Judge follow up that year in year two? I think it's not a question in that it's an unknown. It's a question of just how can he get better in year two, or does he regress at all just because it's hard to follow that year up?
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think generally speaking, you know, coming in the year, if you were to say that, you know, Judge is going to regress some, I don't think that'd be a surprise. I will tell you this. I think he's so bright and he's so disciplined in his approach. I think he's going to hold the line or maybe even get a little bit better. And he's going to be a little less streaky than he was last year when he had basically a 6-week stretch where he was, you know, had one of the lowest batting averages in the American League. And given Giancarlo Stanton's presence in the lineup behind him, I think that's going to back opposing pitchers into a corner even more. One of the cool lineup decisions that loom in spring training for managers around baseball, if you're Aaron Boone, do you hit Judge 2 and Stanton 4? Do you go back-to-back? Either way, I think having Stanton behind him, and I assume that's the way it's going to work out, it means to me that Judge is going to get more pitches to hit this year.
And you mentioned Aaron Boone, Buster. What do you think is the first thing he needs to establish in camp?
It's funny you say that because I've known him for so long, and I've gotten to know him so well, that I don't even feel like he has to do anything other than just be himself. I always thought of him as being extremely well-prepared. I know from talking with friends of his, they say that he's been digging in and educating himself. He's also completely open-minded, so as the process goes along, and Brian Cashman, the general manager, and his staff go to Aaron, hey, we need you to know about this, we need you to learn this, he'll do that work. I think the big thing is just, you know, at the beginning of camp, he's going to be getting to know players, and they're going to be getting to know him, and he's so self-assured, and he's such a good guy. I don't know anybody who doesn't like Aaron, and that'll all go fine.
Buster Olney of ESPN, our MLB insider, with us every Wednesday at this time right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Buster, first hour today, we talked about the Red Sox and their biggest questions heading into spring training. So same thing, what do you think their biggest question to address is?
Well, they certainly need to add power. There's no question about it. And I do think that they're, you know, as we talked about all winter, I think they'll wind up with J.D. Martinez. Alex Spira of the Boston Globe reported the same thing that I've been hearing. You know, these reports that he has $125 million from the Red Sox, that's not right. They've held the line. They've got an offer 5 years and about $100 million on the table. And I just don't think J.D. Martinez is going to be able to find many opportunities elsewhere. You know, maybe the Diamondbacks on a much shorter-term deal. Eventually, if he comes into camp, I think that fixes the hole in there. You know, one way or the other, I think their offense is going to be better because in talking with Red Sox officials, they can look at all their young players from Mookie Betts to Jackie Bradley Jr. To Xander Bogaerts. All of those guys took a step back last year, and you can reasonably expect that, you know, along with Rafael Devers, that those guys will be better this year collectively than they were last year.
Buster, as absurd as it sounds to us mortals, is J.D. Martinez going to come in unhappy with the Red Sox if they sign him for five at 100?
I don't think so. Look, I saw that story that, you know, friends say he's so angry at the Red Sox and their unwillingness to move off their price that, you know, that he wouldn't want to sign. I laughed out loud when I saw that because, hey, I know J.D. J.D.'s a great guy. And the second thing is, I mean, you guys know player. In the end, you're going to probably go to the team that offers you the most money. And if the Red Sox offer him the most money, and that $100 million, I bet you that if Scott Boras' agent went to the Red Sox and said, hey, you know what, let's push this across the line, you can get it done for 110 or 115, I think that that's probably the range that it'll happen. I think J.D., once he picks the team, he'll be fine, and he'll go there. I am curious to see if the Diamondbacks, who can be, as we saw in the Zach Greinke bidding, they can be very impetuous, but I don't think they will be in this case because they're just boxed in by some other financial situations in a way that the Red Sox are not.
Buster, outside of our Red Sox and Yankees box here, what is the thing you're most excited for around baseball to see in spring training?
Shohei Ohtani, without a doubt. What are they going to do with him? What type of hitter can he be? I mentioned I spent a day with Trout the other day, and he was telling me, by the way, scouts who've seen him, most of them think that his biggest impact will be as a pitcher. There's a running debate among scouts about how good of an offensive player he'll be. I think he's going to be pretty good because he's got this very powerful left-handed swing, and he drives the ball left-center field. And Trout was nodding his head as I was telling him that yesterday, and he was like, that's what I'm hearing. In batting practice, he's just killing the ball to left-center field. And Trout, like me, like so many baseball fans, are wondering how the Angels are going to structure this. And I think that whatever they start out the season with, it'll be a work in progress, and they'll make their adjustments day-to-day as they go, as opposed to just sticking to one hard plan.
Buster, one of the big things, kind of a surprise that happened today, I guess David Price sat down in Fort Myers on a picnic table and volunteered his time with the media, which of course they immediately went for, and said, I could have handled it better last year, but I didn't, and I've moved on. I mean, how much does that surprise you? And is somebody telling him, getting in his head, saying, you better get along with this media or there's going to be an issue?
Well, it surprises me, and it doesn't, right? Because how many times do we say that last summer? You know what he ought to do? Just come in and say he made mistakes and move forward from that. And David's a smart guy. And so maybe somebody got in his ear and just said to him, look, maybe it was Alex Cora, the Boston's new manager. Maybe it was somebody like a Peter Gammons who talked to him about it. The reality is David's not going to be able to opt out of his contract. He's going to have that opportunity at the end of this season, upcoming season, but he's got a torn elbow ligament. No team, and we know this from Masahiro Tanaka and the way the pitching market played out, no team is going to give him a huge contract to match what he's getting with the Red Sox because of that elbow ligament. So he might as well make his peace with being in Boston, and I think that doing what he did today is a step in that direction.
Buster Olney of ESPN with us here on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN. Buster, what are some of the under-the-radar teams you like? Last year you gave us the Braves. I'm going to hold you to that, and they were terrible. So who you got this year?
Well, great. Thanks for teeing me up right off the bat. It's interesting because I don't think there are as many under-the-radar teams as we normally might think because, as your general manager, Jerry DePoto of the Mariners, rightly said, there probably is more competition for the first pick in the draft than there is for the teams actually trying to win the championship. It feels like a year in which it's going to be the most polarized competition. You're going to have some absolutely dynamic teams that are in play. I guess if you look at the landscape of teams that might be in contention, I think the Brewers are really interesting. And they went out and signed Lorenzo Cain. They trade for Christian Yelich. I love the improvements that they've done. I'm curious to see if they make a move for a starting pitcher before we get started the regular season.
Buster, we'll get you out of here on this. One, I'm going to need you to clear up the details on what was up with the report earlier in this week. An agent was filing a complaint against his old agency saying they were giving steroids to clients. Am I reading that right? What do you know?
Well, first off, it's a civil suit.
Okay.
So let's start with that. A former agent who worked with Aces. It's an agency that represents a lot of guys from Dustin Pedroia to David Wright. He alleges that that they were dispensing steroids through him. Again, it's a civil suit. This is someone who's been in legal trouble before. I probably should just let it play out before I give you a comment one way or the other about what I think about it.
All right, Buster Olney, our ESPN MLB insider, is going to join us every week of the season at this time, as he always does. Buster, we appreciate the time, and safe travels all through Florida and Arizona. We'll talk to you next week.
Always love talking to you guys.
Oh, man. Is there any guy better in baseball than Buster Olney? Seriously. I mean, he's like the expert on everything to do with MLB plus some.
You could ask him the most ridiculous question about the fourth starter on the Arizona Diamondbacks, and he could go for 10 minutes about him.
The only thing Buster doesn't pay attention to is the draft. That's the only thing. If you ask Buster a prospect question, that's the only thing he doesn't pay attention
really?
To. If you ask, I mean, like the top prospects in baseball, everybody knows. Okay, the Moncadas, Torres for the Yankees, yeah. Those he knows all that stuff. But if you say, well, rumor has it that the Braves are going to take this pitcher out of Vanderbilt, that's the only thing he's not. That's the only thing he's not paying attention to.
Who? By the way, I don't know. Do the Red Sox go out to L.A. this year and play the Dodgers? Do you know off the top of your head, Brady, or no? If they do, we're going out there for it. We'll take the whole show out there for the week. So
I'll tell you in a minute.
Yeah, you let me, Richard. Look at Richard's all excited. Chavez Ravine.
Last year they played the NL Central. I know that. Last year
they played them last year.
They did not.
No.
Last year Last year, they played the Cardinals and they played the Cubs.
I thought they played the Dodgers.
The Yankees, I think, played the Dodgers.
I don't know why I'm confused on that. So I was way off. I thought for sure they had played last year. I'm like, well, they probably don't play this year. So if they do, though, that'd be great to go out to go see that one.
They
huh?
last played in 2016, so they're not going to play this year. Because it's like football. You play in opposite division. Last year they played the NL Central. So this year they're playing they would have to be playing the East. They'd be playing the Mets, and they'd be playing the Marlins or the Nats.
That's too bad.
That's okay. Well, I mean, they're playing Anaheim in Anaheim the third week of the season.
Then we'll go out there
Let's
for
go.
It.
Let's go.
Well, go ahead. We'll send the show
the
out there.
Between Anaheim and L.A.
You're right. Done deal. We're going for it. I'll take care of all the festivities.
Hotel, car rental?
Everything.
Awesome.
Everything. My mom has a condo there. We'll just stay there.
Okay.
Right.
That's April 17th, 18th, and 19th.
I'll put that in my calendar.
Excellent.
I'll go ahead and do that. I hear I was to talk on somebody's very popular morning show this morning there, Brady.
You were. For some reason, you were talked about on Golic and Wingo.
And I would have no idea why, to be honest with you.
Everybody let us know.
Oh, man. Did I get tweets like crazy?
But you haven't heard it yet.
No, I have not heard it because I wasn't listening to the show this morning, and you were going to get me a clip, and I'm like, you know what? Just hold on to the clip. I'll listen to it when I get in, and I came in late. I go, I'll just listen to it for the first time as we go on the air. So this was this morning on Golic and Wingo's show, or what exactly
this was on Golic and Wingo's show. So Golic and Wingo were talking with Katie Nolan. Okay, Katie Nolan, who just came over.
Oh, did Katie say something about me?
No.
Oh.
So what is happening is that at the NBA Celebrity Game, so Mike and Mike had played in the NBA Celebrity Game. They also coached the NBA Celebrity All-Star Game.
Right.
And now this weekend, it's Katie Nolan of ESPN and Rachel Nichols.
Oh, they are in Los Angeles.
Yeah, in Los Angeles.
That's right.
Are the coaches. So they were talking with Katie Nolan about, Golic was saying about his experience at the Celebrity Game. So that's the context of this. And this is when Golic was talking about having played in the Celebrity All-Star Game for the first time.
I got on the court. I was probably 40, 50 pounds heavier than I am now.
Yeah.
Okay? And the first two possessions, I'm sprinting up and down the court because people are playing this series. I tried to joke around with the ref. He's looking at me like I got three eyes. Wait a minute. Aren't we supposed to be having some fun here? I'm guarding Arnie Spanier, who's playing like, you know, like he's
Army
playing
Hammer.
for the title here, wants to be the MVP.
Right.
I'm sorry, Brett, say that again.
Arnie Duncan.
I'm sorry. Arnie Spanier. It's a radio host.
Yes.
Radio host.
You got to look up who Arnie Spanier is.
Arnie Spanier is a radio host. Yeah. Arnie Duncan, exactly. He was the Secretary of Education, I believe.
Correct. Wow.
Talk show host, Secretary of Education.
Sure.
Similar jobs.
It could have gone either way in your career. But, of course, Adnan Virk knows us quite well.
Yes, Adnan knows us well.
Yeah, but Adnan doesn't know me, though, does he?
Well, Adnan's talked to us before, yeah.
Okay, so, you know, what's funny about that is the only reason I know Arnie Duncan is because of the celebrity All-Star games. Because I'm like, who is this tall white guy? He's pretty good, man.
So I'd be confused with Ernie Duncan.
Yeah. Yeah. I just love the response from Golic when he stops.
Or wants to be the MVP.
Right.
I'm sorry, Brett, say that again.
Ernie Duncan.
I'm sorry. Ernie Spanier. It's a radio host. Radio host.
What did I say? Ernie Spanier.
Ernie Spanier is a radio host. Ernie Duncan. Exactly. He was the Secretary of Education, I believe.
I think Adnan said Ernie Spanier.
Yeah, he is a talk show. Like they're trying to figure out what exactly is that.
Ernie Spanier.
Who the hell is this guy that we were just mentioning?
But he's like, no. He really is a radio host.
You got we got a tweet from him. I don't even know what we got. What did we get from him, Brady?
Yeah, so we put it out there. We put the clip out on social media, and Golic responds to us on Twitter. Don't know why Arnie's name jumped into my head. I think if he and I played one-on-one, we'd both need oxygen quickly.
Wow.
That's for sure.
He doesn't know how well I play.
Do you think he could guard Trimboli?
No, he can't guard me, that's for sure. Have you seen him? He can't guard me, that's for sure. No, that's very funny, though. That is too funny. Yeah, he was my first radio partner in Phoenix, so maybe
really?
That's...
Mike Golic?
Mike Golic was. But it was only for one day.
And Merrill Hodge. And Sean Salisbury.
Yeah, every time we got to retell the story to Rich,
the movie 50 First Dates.
I will tell you this. I know Brady's heard this story before. You have too, but it's always the first time for you. When I was in a celebrity basketball game in Phoenix, one guy brought Cal Ripken Jr. to play, so I got to play against him. And I tried – this was with 1981-ish. You helped me on the dates here because in that one there was the strike, the lockout with the baseball players.
Not sure.
So I think that was the year. So this guy, this clown, this writer decides he's going to bring Cal Ripken Jr. to a celebrity 3-on-3 basketball game. You know, we're playing another station. And I say – I see Cal, and I'm like, you knock him out, and he can't go back to play. You're famous. And I immediately raised my hand and go, I got Cal. And I went right after him in the first drive. And I tried to smack him in the wrist and break his wrist. And he just shrugged me off and looked at me like I was a little girl.
Good.
Yeah, I just wanted to know that. So
that's how you wanted to become famous.
Yeah, he was strong, believe it or not. Brady, he got arms like Popeye. I know that's hard to believe because he's Cal Ripken Jr., but his arms were like Popeye.
And the way, that's at least the third time I've heard that story. There is hope for my brain cells. There are a few remaining.
I'd also like to point out this side story. Your buddy Clay Travis from Fox Sports Radio, he brings this one to our attention. This one's good. A Jeep Super Bowl commercial, the one where the Jeep crosses the creek and climbs into a rocky bank, is under fire for being insensitive to fish.
He's joking.
No, that's true.
No, he's joking.
That's on MSN.com.
Oh, get out of here.
People just make stuff.
Are you serious?
The head of one of the nation's largest fish conservation groups says the Fiat Chrysler Super Bowl ads glorified the destruction of aquatic habitats.
Well, what was the movie, the cartoon that made if you threw blueberries, they said we apologize for people with allergic reactions? Seriously, the cartoon? Because they figured out they were throwing blueberries at the cartoon character.
People are just put on this earth now to be offended.
Really, unbelievable. Anyway, that's too funny. Golic and Wingo. Me or Arnie Duncan.
I'm proud to even be in the room with someone so famous.
Well, Secretary of, what was he? Secretary of Education? See, opposite of me.
I'm not winning that.
I'm surprised we made it through that whole thing going, I want to play in the Celebrity All-Star Game.
I would, but you know what? It would make me too nervous. They have, like, real celebs on those things. You ever seen the real celebs on those?
So you're saying that Trimboli and I are not real celebs?
No, this has, like, real, like, rappers and actors Kardashians.
You had a chance to play one of the 5 or 6 greatest players in the history of the University of Vermont program last night, and you bagged out.
Yeah. I'll get even with him. Yeah. All right, Brady, what's coming up next segment?
It is Valentine's Day.
Yes, it is.
I don't know if you knew that, but it is February 14th. It is Valentine's Day. And since there's only one person in the world for everyone, which players have we loved that absolutely nobody else did? So we'll have some fun here. Who are our unsung affections in the sports world?
All right. And remember, now we're at the City Sports Grill for trivia tonight. And it's, look, if you're keeping it casual for Valentine's Day, you want to come out, half price burgers all night long, drink specials, other food specials, great prizes we give away. Every week, it's like we get those new sweatshirts or sweaters, they like to call them.
Right.
And
if you're out of time and you haven't bought your loved one something, go win a sweater.
Yeah. Or we have other great prizes. Plus, the food is absolutely phenomenal. So City Sports Grill trivia. trivia tonight. We'll come back. We'll get to your favorite or the athletes that you loved. I've got four that you probably haven't even heard of, Brady. We'll get to that. Coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Go back to the huddle where you can give us your take at 802-655-6672. Providing Arnie shuts up long enough to let you get a sentence in. 101.3 ESPN.
You didn't play the one song everybody wanted to hear.
What was that?
It's Valentine's Day.
I don't know that song. I know back
no,
at one.
That, actually, that's not the name of the name of the Cupid. Cupid. I could have draw played, back your bow.
I could have played
and let. Come on.
I could have played the Cupid Shuffle.
Can you play Cupid for everybody real quick?
No, we're playing Back at One by Brian McKnight.
But Rich.
Brian
stop,
McKnight.
Stop. Listen.
Oh, come on, no.
I just threw up in my mouth.
Yeah, I did too.
Come on, this is the love song of all love songs.
I've never heard it in my life.
Pretend we're coming back from this segment again. Play Cupid, draw back your bow and let. Come on, Rich, you know that song. Come on.
Plunging.
Who sings that song? Who sings that song?
Cupid, draw back. I don't know.
Come on.
Wow, I thought I knew my
music. That's like an historic, that's the only time we play it on Valentine's Day. Is Cupid. Come on now.
Spinners, maybe?
Yeah, that's it, the Spinners.
Is
that's
it the Spinners?
It is the Spinners. I'm pretty sure.
Cupid.
No, that's not
no,
it.
No, that's definitely not
no, this
it.
Is the Cupid Shuffle.
No, don't ruin Cupid like this. What are you doing?
Oh, Sam Cooke did
it. Oh, Sam Cooke, that's who it is. I don't know which one I like, though. Is it, you know, is it the original or the
remake?
Well,
the only other one apparently is by Amy Winehouse.
No, so. That wouldn't be it.
No, that's definitely not the one we're familiar
can you
with.
Can you play real Cupid?
I'm playing this.
Wow.
All right, hold on. It's about to get good.
Oh, I've heard this song before.
Hold on.
I used to play this on my Dallas show. So Jeff used to pick it.
3 minutes of noise.
Wow.
Just
hideous. It's Valentine's Day, Rich. Get
yeah,
in the mood.
This is putting me in the mood for romance.
Get in the mood. All right, we're going to talk about athletes that we love. Athletes that we love that nobody else loves.
Yes, because there's only one person for everyone, Arnie.
I pick one like in every sport, though, of all
that's
my
fine.
Favorite teams. Well, Bill Bradley used to be my favorite basketball player of all time, former New York Knick. You know
I
him,
feel
don't
like you? people have loved him, though.
Bill Bradley?
Yeah. Wasn't he a senator?
Yeah, he was a senator, yeah. But not loved him as a basketball player. Played at Princeton. Didn't go to the New York Knicks because he was a Rhodes Scholar.
Right.
I actually was a Democratic hopeful presidential candidate at one point. People thought that he was.
As soon as he became a politician, everybody disliked him.
It's really funny. Big Dave goes, my favorite is Brian Scalabre. I think he means Brian
Scalabrine. Yeah, Brian Scalabrine.
He loves him so much he doesn't even know his name.
Everybody loves that guy.
No, he doesn't know his name.
I used to love old New York Knicks, you know, Frazier, Monroe, those guys.
Debusher,
former Miami Dolphins I used to love is the kicker, Garo Yapremian.
Oh, yeah. One of the most famous Super Bowl plays in history.
They were up 14-0, and the, I don't know if he... kick got blocked. He tried to pick up the ball and throw it. It got intercepted and run back for a touchdown.
It went backwards,
yeah,
I think.
Thank goodness it didn't cost the Dolphins the Super Bowl. Hockey, one of the dirtiest, nastiest goaltenders in all of the game.
Oh, Battling Billy?
Billy Smith.
Yeah.
I loved that guy like he was my own dad. I loved how nasty and dirty he was, so I loved Billy Smith. And the last one is a baseball player you might not even know, Rich. Very little heard of guy. I just used to love him, though. Second baseman for the New York Mets, Felix Mian.
Sure.
Yeah, back in the day with Buddy Harrelson at shortstop. And a good little player. I think Felix Montañez.
I don't remember him.
No. Felix? No.
But I definitely remember
Willie
Felix
Montañez.
Mian.
It was Willie Montañez.
Okay, yeah, he played for the
first
Phillies
baseman,
for a little while.
And also a little bit for the Mets. Anyway, used to love Felix Mian. Very known little baseball player.
I've got a couple here, but most of them are fairly well-known. One of mine, and you talk about Battling Billy Smith. How about Tiger Williams?
Yeah, Tiger. Oh, no,
oh
don't,
my gosh.
You want to take that back right now.
Why?
Yeah, he just had some bad stuff come down on him, so you don't want to like him.
Oh, anymore. Really? Yeah, is he in jail and all that
stuff? This actually came down like 2 days ago.
All right, then how about Dave the Hammer Schultz? If we're going to talk
there
about
there you go.
Goons.
Dave the Hammer Schultz, another guy. Yeah, absolutely right about that. He was.
I've never heard
enforcer.
Of any of these.
Dave
I've
Schultz,
heard of Yapremian. Yeah, I've heard of
Dave Schultz was the enforcer for the Philadelphia
Flyers. He was the enforcer among many enforcers for the Broad Street Bullies. He used to literally run up 400 penalty minutes
Dave
in a year.
And you're a diehard Bruins fan.
I was. Well, that's Derek Sanderson's on my list, but he's too famous.
Yeah. No, Dave Schultz, yeah, definitely remember him.
You talk about Felix Mion. How about an obscure second baseman? I loved him because my mother was in love with this guy for the Red Sox. Doug Griffin.
No, I don't know him.
I mean, the guy...
Don't know that.
The guy
name.
Hit about 230 over 7 or 8 years at Fenway. Hit about 2 home runs.
No, I have no idea.
My mother would just be, oh, Dougie's up next. And we used to sit there and watch them. And so, of course, I loved my mother, so I had to love Doug Griffin.
I never heard of that one before.
How about Sam Bam Cunningham?
Yeah, yeah, the running back. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Although he's like the all-time leading rusher in Patriots. Somebody had to have loved
Where
him.
Where did he go to college? He didn't go to Penn State.
I think he went to USC.
Okay, he may have. I was going to say Penn
Why
State.
Why do I know this stuff?
I don't know.
It's so ridiculous. I can't remember 5 minutes ago. How about Tom Hawkeye Webster, the first 50-goal scorers in the history of the New England Whalers?
No, I don't remember that
name. He signed a puck for me.
Wow, look at you.
So that's about as obscure as it gets.
Yeah, you have two of them. Yeah, exactly.
So those are the guys. So these are the guys that we love that nobody else loves. I've got three of them. Three guys that I imagine people have heard of in some degree, but that nobody loved. I know that for sure.
Well, I know who one of them is.
Yeah, Rex Burkhead.
There you go.
Of course.
That's
your man crush.
It's kind of a then and now.
Who is he again?
My now is Rex Burkhead. Nobody seemed to get it. I was telling you all from the moment he signed last June or so that Rex Burkhead could have been a difference maker on this team, and no one believed me. No one wanted to believe me. You saw it in the preseason when he played great against Detroit and Houston. You saw it when he blocked a punt in the regular season. He could have lined up in the slot. He could have lined up in the backfield. He could have had 20 carries a game. But no, you want to know why you didn't win the Super Bowl, Rich? The answer invariably comes back to this. Rex Burkhead did not get the ball enough. I loved him. I believed in him. The coaching staff didn't. And that's why there's turmoil in New England.
Well, obviously, at the next Belichick press conference, you need to show up and rip him for it.
Yeah, if I see him again, I'm going to Bill.
See how that works.
Bill. Rex needed to play more, and Rex isn't going to be on the team.
It'll be the last thing you ever ask him.
I hope Rex goes to the Seahawks. My other favorite players that nobody likes and nobody cared about, former Mariners shortstop Unieski Betancourt. I loved that guy.
That's a great name.
He's more famous for having been with the Brewers than the Mariners, but he started out with the Mariners.
Did he play with the Dodgers?
No.
Okay.
I thought that Unieski Betancourt was a Gold Glove caliber shortstop. And he would make some of the most ridiculous plays ever. But as I got older and started to realize defensive metrics, it actually turned out he was one of the worst shortstops in baseball. So I would see this guy make like 2 incredible plays a week and then have like 5 balls go through his legs. He also hit like 227 for the Mariners, it felt like. But every time he came to bat, I thought he was just a double waiting to happen. So, I loved Unieski. When they traded him, I nearly cried at like age 17. I just loved this guy.
So he was the Doug Griffin of the Mariners.
Yes. Yeah, he was much maligned on Mariners message boards, and I never quite got it.
How could you not like a guy whose name is Unieski?
I loved that guy. How about this one? This was kind of a guy that people could have loved, and he turned out to be such a bust. Former Bengals wide receiver Peter Warrick. He was drafted number...
Syracuse?
Florida State.
Florida State. Okay.
He was drafted number 4 overall in, like, 2000. He was MVP of the Sugar Bowl, played in 2 national championships at Florida State. This guy was dynamic as a wide receiver and a punt returner. When I lived in North Carolina, I kind of hitched my wagon at a young age to Florida State football. Warrick Dunn was my first favorite player, and Peter Warrick was my second favorite player. And then, remember him and Lavernius Coles? They didn't rob it, but they bought $420 worth of merchandise for $20
from a
Dillard's.
No, I thought it was from a sporting goods store. No,
it was a Dillard's.
Okay, it was a Dillard's,
which is like Macy's.
I know what a Dillard's is.
So he got in trouble, then was drafted 4th overall, and you really never heard. He had 1 good season in the NFL. You never heard from him, and then he had 5 punt returns for the Seahawks in their Super Bowl in 2005, and that was it. That was all he got in the NFL.
The Warrick that went to Syracuse is the basketball player, Hakeem Warrick.
Yes, Hakeem Warrick.
So I was sort of on the right page, but that is pretty obscure.
I loved Peter Warrick. And last one, I hate UNC basketball. Again, when I was in North Carolina, I hitched my wagon to Duke at that time. But former UNC basketball player, Shamond Williams.
Yeah.
Why?
He was like a 5'6" point guard with cornrows and braids. He was like 94% from the foul line. He hit threes all over the court. For being so short and being at a time when Vince Carter and was there and maybe even Jerry Stackhouse at the very beginning, I mean, when a time when North Carolina had Antoine Jameson, Shamond Williams was the guy that I liked.
Tom Fairtire, text line says, for hockey, John LeClair. Football, Jerome Bettis. Baseball, Tom Glavine.
But, yeah, but I mean, those are not obscure names.
They're not obscure names.
That's for sure.
Yeah, they're, you know, we're talking, even if you're talking about a great team, there's always like one or two obscure guys that you always like, forget about off those great
teams. You know who I liked? I've always liked Jed Lowry. Because
he's still playing.
Former Red Sox, current A. Anybody who has a two-flapped batting helmet, I have an affinity for. If you have a two-flapped batting helmet, I like you naturally. So Jed Lowry, Mark Bellhorn, if we're talking about Red Sox.
Absolutely.
I think he had a two-flap batting helmet.
You were talking about shortstops that had great gloves. I was thinking of Sean Dunstan. Oh, yes. Remember him?
But
Chicago.
He could hit. Yep. He could hit a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, Sean Dunstan.
Yeah, he was what, like maybe a 260 hitter or something like that. Yeah.
The Cubs had a guy by the name of Tyler Houston at one point who was a catcher who then went to the Brewers, who I loved for a while too. Danny Woodhead, somebody.
Yeah, Danny Woodhead. Oil Cam Boyd, the former pitcher. Wait, did he pitch for the Expos too, Oil Cam Boyd? I think he may have pitched for the Expos.
He was probably the second strangest interview we ever had on this show, Oil Cam Boyd. It was about 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah. I'm thinking he might have pitched for the Expos.
And we got a phone call, although this is going to fall into our too famous category. Real quick, we could take this before break. We got Josh on the line.
Josh, you're on 101.3 ESPN. What's going on, Josh?
Hey, how you guys doing? My favorite basketball player all time, doesn't get too much credit, John Stockton, all-time assist leader. But most people don't know he also all-time steals.
Yes, he does. He's all-time steal.
Hall of Famer.
Yeah, but he's a Hall of Famer, though, so he's not obscure. Okay. But, yeah, absolutely.
You know what I liked about him? He was the last.
Yeah, wait, give him one more. What was the other one?
Mike Timlin, Red Sox.
Yes. Yeah.
Middle reliever. He's to come in and bring some energy. Love that guy.
Yeah, no, that's more
he never got the credit.
Yeah.
He had a million holds, but not many saves. But Stockton, wasn't he the last of the short shorts NBA player?
That's what everybody brings up. They think of a guard. I go, well, you know what? This guy's top 50. This guy's top 50. I go, let me explain something to you. In the top 50, I think John Stockton came in at number 49. When you lead the league in assists and steals, then get back to me and we'll put you in the top 50. Until then, don't even bring up your name into that thing. That's why I always bring that up about John Stockton. Someone said they love Travis Fryman.
Remember he was the old third baseman for the Tigers and Indians.
Yeah. Indians. That's right.
Way back then. That's a good one. Nick in Plattsburgh. All right, Brady, what do we get? And by the way, you can send them in on the Town Fair Tire text line 802-655-6672. What do we got coming up next?
Should
Brady?
Kevin Garnett get his number retired by the Celtics? Paul Pierce thinks he will.
What? Where? We'll have that next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Commercials are over, and the guys are back. The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon. Show just flying by. You're in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Remember, we got Trivia Night, City Sports Grill. Come on by. You're going to be starting at about 7:30, going to 9:30. All kinds of fabulous prizes, all kinds of stuff to give it away. Also, half-price burgers, drink specials, and dinner specials at the City Sports Grill.
That'll be fun. People are still coming in. Zach in Bristol goes, I love Carl Everett. Wasn't Carl Everett not a very good dude?
Not at all. Wow.
He had a blood pressure, no doubt about that.
Someone says James Devlin, and someone says Tony Kukoc and Nick Van Horn. Now, are you talking about Keith Van Horn or Nick Van Exel?
Yeah, those are two different guys there.
I liked Nick Van Exel. Yeah. Keith Van Horn was fine, too.
Slight height differential
between
the two
of them.
And look,
he's got in hockey, he's got Ron Hextall. His kid's a goalie. Down here at UMass Boston, I believe.
Oh, man, there's a guy you couldn't go in the crease against.
Oh, no. He was the first goalie I know that had a goal.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, it was Hextall.
Yep. I think Billy Smith eventually had one.
Simon Gagné?
Oh, Simone Gagné, yeah.
Hardy Nickerson.
Yeah. Wow. Former Tampa Bay Buccaneer. Christian Okoye was the former Kansas City Chief.
The Nigerian nightmare.
Yeah, he came from, what school was it? Like Pomona or not Pomona? One of those, I can't remember off the top of my head.
Damon Berryhill, the catcher for
the
Red
Sox.
For
the Red Sox and the Cubs.
And Thunder Dan Marley.
Thunder Dan, Central Michigan.
I'll be eating at his restaurant in
and
about
Vin
3 weeks.
Didn't Vin Baker go to like Hartford or something?
He did.
He went to Hartford and he became an alcoholic. Yep. And now he's reformed and manages a Starbucks.
And someone is Dave Kingman. I should add him. That one of my favorite of all time, too. He sent a rat to a female reporter, did rat. So I So I'm going to throw that in there.
Talk about all or nothing. Brady, Dave Kingman.
What did Paul Pierce have to say?
Yeah, real quick. Paul Pierce says that Kevin Garnett would rather have his jersey retired in Boston than in Minnesota.
Wow.
He thinks it's going to happen in both places. Does Kevin Garnett deserve to have his number retired by the Celtics?
This is getting ridiculous.
Did Kevin Garnett play for the Celtics? Oh, yes, that's right. How many years? He played, 14 years for Minnesota?
Six in Boston.
Yeah, let me do the math real quick while I figure it out in my head. If you even go ahead and think about retiring his number, what a slap in the face. Yeah. And, you know, usually it doesn't matter to me. I'd say, I don't care. You want to retire somebody's number. But that is a slap in the face to all the other former Celtics and ones that never did get their numbers retired.
Well, I mean, you could name so many different names that are hanging up there. I mean, and this was discussed after the Paul Pierce retirement. Pierce, 34, belongs up there. Don't you think? I mean, that guy earned it through longevity, through hanging through tough times, and through pure stats. But there are some ridiculous numbers up in the rafters. I don't think KG should get in. And yet, when it comes to Minnesota, you named the all-time greatest Timberwolf.
Yeah, of
course it's Garnett. Immediately.
Yes. Well, and the franchise has only been around since the very early 90s. I think they came in the same time as the Orlando Magic, if I'm not mistaken. Or maybe the Magic and the Raptors came in. They're all right late 80s and early 90s for the Magic, the Raptors, the Grizzlies, and the Timberwolves. If you think of Timberwolves that are famous, I can think of four that really stand out to me. KG, Stephon Marbury, Wally Zerbiak, and Isaiah Ryder. Those are the only... Those are the four Timberwolves that I could think of that are famous.
Yeah, well, Karl Anthony Towns will be on that list soon.
I mean, Garnett, look at this. He averaged less than 16 points and 9 rebounds in his 6 years in Boston. He didn't make the All-Star team every time that he was here. I know they won the championship when he was here, and they say, oh, KG changed the culture, and that's great. I'm one of the biggest culture proponents out there, but that doesn't get you your jersey retired.
Right. No, I agree with you.
6 years
I agree with you. And, I mean, pretty soon the Celtics are going to have to be wearing numbers with 3 digits on it. It's just getting ridiculous. There's so many up there that I just can't even believe.
Well, that's why they don't do retired numbers in football. They do the, Ring of Honors, the Ring of Fames, and stuff. You know, some teams have rules. Like, you have to retire with that team. It used to be. Now of them got rid of some because, Walt Frazier ended up retiring with the Cavaliers. And you wouldn't have – that was his last team. And, the Knicks wouldn't be able to retire his number if they had those rules and stuff like that.
Just give Garnett the Isaiah Thomas video tribute and let's move on.
My goodness.
No, that's a guy who maybe deserves a video tribute, but I don't know.
I'll give you the video tribute. That I'll give you. Yeah, a retired number in the rafters up there? No way.
I guarantee you're going to get some blowback on that because a lot of people I've talked to think number 5 should be getting raised up there pretty soon. That's ridiculous.
Oh, what, overall?
I mean, why would you? No, I'm saying his number was 5. Yeah, so why? I mean, 6 years, and like Brady said, he changed the culture a little bit, but so much of this is, it's so hard to tell because it's just from team to team, the rules change about what gets you to the rafters.
Well, now it's just more like what kind of star you are for them and, how long you played for.
Right, and a lot of these cases where teams like Minnesota that don't have a lot of history are just, they just want to get anybody up there because they want to have the night and they can market it and sell out the arena on a Tuesday night.
By the way, Shaden Broin said Ilja Kovalchuk. So,
forgot it. Well, he's Atlanta Thrashers, baby.
Come on, don't act like it's that long.
Didn't he sign the 17-year deal
with the New Jersey Devils?
By the way, speaking of hockey, what is the U.S. doing losing to Slovenia tonight this morning?
I'm
in the
not
Olympics?
Kidding. When we were up 2-0 and the goalie gave up the 2 in the winter, I'm like, geez, I felt like my kid was in goal. I swear. I felt like Shea was in goal, giving up the 3 goals to cost the USA an Olympic gold medal.
That's nice.
That's what crossed my mind when I was watching that.
Nice job,
Thank
Dad.
You. We have last story standing and more on trivia for the last segment. Coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Doc.com.
Time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, only the millennials would love this one. 2015, the Atlanta Hawks did something special. In 2015, they did Tinder Night. Tinder Night, you know what Tinder is. Well, now we are, 3 years later, and that very first Tinder night resulted in a date between two people called Ben McCleskey and Avery Armstrong. Well, that couple, you guessed it, they're getting married because they met on Tinder night for the Hawks. Well, guess what? the Atlanta Hawks said, not only are we paying the bill, you're getting married right here in the arena.
Wow.
And it's all on us. So the Atlanta Hawks are saying you're going to have the celebration here, the wedding here, and we're picking up the tab here and everything else. And they may even pay for the honeymoon.
That'll double the attendance, so you can expect 9,000 at the game.
Wow, look at that. Huh? Wow, so that's pretty cool. I bet you there's Tinder nights with all the arenas.
I have no idea. All I know is that Alexa wanted to comment on who her favorite player was. That's all I know. Alexa, who's your favorite athlete?
Serena Williams is pretty awesome. If I played a match against her, I'm sure I wouldn't score any points. I think that's the only way I could be more in love with her game.
Earlier, she said it was Tromboli. So I just want you to know that. So there you go.
She could probably guard him better than anyone did last night.
Oh, that for damn sure. All right, remember, come out to the City Sports Grill.
Yes.
7:30 to 9:30 tonight. We got trivia, really cool prizes. It's always a lot of fun and usually fills on up. So it's Valentine's Day. If you don't have any special plans, we'll have a good time out at the City Sports Grill. So I'm certainly looking for that. What's coming up at Champlain Valley Game Night?
Well, Tom Curl, Plattsburgh men's basketball coach, he's going to join me at 6:40. His team has won 15 straight games. And
wow!
Is Jackie Bradley Jr. overrated? One place thinks so.
Oh, my goodness. We'll see what happens there. What were you going to say, big boy?
Overrated. Not his defense isn't overrated.
All right. For Brady, for Rich, I'm Arnie, Champlain Valley. Intern, what's his name again?
Nathan.
I'm sorry. He's sitting right there, too.
And for Mike Trimboli.
Who joined the show?
Well, I'll shut him down next week. I promise you
Well, you shut him up today.
Champlain Valley Game Night coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.